Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Yeah, well, you know what? How about this?
Let's ask somebody who knows.
Ron Darling was a tremendous pitcher for many years in Major League Baseball. He's a great analyst now on SNY. I want to ask you a question. Hi, Ron. Thank you very much for coming.
Great to see you, man.
Hi, Evan. How are you?
I am fantastic.
You came in the middle of a debate.
We're having a baseball geek debate, and I think you, as someone who played it and is very smart, could help settle this.
I'm a little geeky, too. So
good.
As a pitcher, did you not like or like when a batter would swing at the first pitch? I'm a proponent of it, that you sometimes it's the best pitch that you will get. Soto hit his first home run on the first pitch. Apparently, the Mets' statistics overall are not good swinging at the first pitch.
This is according to a caller. It's according to JR.
Yeah, I have to back up his numbers, actually. Your opinion on the opponent, or in this case, the Mets, swinging aggressively at the first pitch?
Well, I think I talked to Miguel Cabrera about this many years ago. You remember when it was really du jour of all the teams to see if they can see 4, 5, 6 pitches every at-bat.
Right.
And Miguel Cabrera, who's by far the best hitter of his generation at that time, said, no, I swing at the first pitch. He's like, you just don't know what's going to be the pitch. The thing about Soto is that, I can't prove this, I think he sets up pitchers. I think he, the first time up against a young kid, Fuentes, he took a lot of pitches. He took one pitch right down the middle. And then the second time up, he's going to say, he's going to try to get ahead of me, and I'm going to see what I can do. He's just so great that he hits a home run.
So he's playing mind games.
Yes. And most
rope-a-dope.
Yes. And most people, of course, might hit a single or something. But for him, it's a home run.
So overall, is it a smart approach to be aggressive? Because that may be the best pitch you get.
Baseball is a strange game. You only have 3 strikes. Why would you waste any of them? Mm. So be aware or ready or alert for each and every pitch.
Mm. Interesting.
I mean, I don't know who won that then.
Well, I think he's basically saying I'm right.
I don't know. I think he's saying great hitters. Look at what he's talking about. Miguel Cabrera.
That's right. That's right.
What about, I don't know, Ronnie Mauricio or Mark Vientos, any of these younger guys?
I think Tiki makes – I know what Tiki's saying. I get it. Is that if you are really highly skilled, you don't have to swing at the first pitch I know I'm going to get another pitch to hit. I'm going to put it in play.
You have the confidence.
Yes. Right. Yeah.
Before we even get into the Mets, I'm curious now, talking about you playing and being a baseball player, who was the toughest hitter you ever faced?
Well, it's a couple different ones because Tony Gwynn was impossible to get out.
Right.
I think he had a 450 off me, but he did against Smoltz.
Everybody.
Maddox, he had a 450 against everybody. I gave up 2 hits to Tony Gwynn, in fact, on balls that bounced.
Wow.
He had 2 balls that bounced for base hits, and he had the audacity.
What do you mean bounce? I mean, threw a bounce?
I threw a ball, so it was going to bounce, so he would swing over it, and it bounced, and he hit it on the bounce like a tennis player for a single up the middle. So he had the audacity, and I say that because Tony was my great friend and one of the nicest people I've ever met in my life. But I got into San Diego late one night before we were going to play the Padres in the 80s, and there was a TV show, and it was about Tony. And he had the audacity on the show to say I was one of the toughest pitchers he faced.
Right.
So I marched right to the cage the next day. I said, Tony, that's BS, man. Why would you do that? He goes, I don't know how I get hits off you. I don't see the ball.
Really?
And I was like, well, can you imagine if he saw it? He'd have 1,000. So he just he was so great. And then
he hit 420 off of you. Yeah, can you imagine what he's hitting off everybody else?
And then Mike Schmidt and Jack Clark both, when they stood in the box, you know, there's no fear when you play sports, Tiki. You know
of course
that.
Not.
But there is apprehension occasionally, you know, when you you know you're going to get the ball and you're going to a guy that's going to rip your head off if he's not blocked properly. So those two guys, when they got in the box, they took up the whole box. They were tremendously big men. In our day, you know, they didn't have the weight training like the guys have today. You know, they were the human muscle, too, and they just looked like they were going to hit one right off your forehead.
I'll tell you something interesting. I think during the pandemic I did this. I was looking at Tony Gwynn's numbers against everybody, and it really is amazing. Like, no joke, 350 against every Hall of Famer. Everybody he faced more than 30 or 40 times he had a great average against, except for one person.
Wow.
Can you get – and I bring it up because you know him. He was your teammate.
Really?
There's one guy he could not hit.
Coney.
Doc Gooden.
Oh, really?
Yes, I couldn't believe it.
Wow.
Like, everyone, it's 370, 390, 420. And then with Doc, it was like 230.
But why would that be?
I think he caught Doc and right when Doc was Doc. Maybe nobody hit Doc. In
that is true. No one did.
So. So tell us about this this last little streak that the Mets have been on.
Yeah.
Negative, obviously, of course. But and we had Pete on earlier, and he was talking about the football analogy. You know, it's 2 weeks is basically one game, or 14 games is basically one game in the NFL. And I can imagine that the player has to look at it that way. But in real time, when you're on a whatever it was before they won last night, 10 of 11 losing, how do you mentally get yourself out of that?
It's a really, really great question. I think for baseball players, they're wired that way, that they know the long season is going to produce some streaky results. Ball players, all of them, whether they're the greatest of the greats, going to be Hall of Famers, or guys that are just the pedestrian players, they try to limit those bad streaks, because you know it's going to happen, and augment the good streaks. And the real Hall of Famers are able to do that. I think you have to play mind games with yourself. I think you have to say to yourself, you know what, I'm hitting the ball hard. I know I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Trying too hard, like in football, I feel, now I played a little high school football, college football, but you know, you could try harder and there would be a result.
Right, it would work.
It would
you
work.
Could hit that guy harder and he would feel it.
Exactly. And in baseball, it doesn't work that way, really. You know, even if you grunt throwing the ball into the batter, it doesn't mean he's not going to hit it hard. So I think you have to play mind games with yourself. And then you have to have an incredible coaching staff. You have to have incredible kind of strength with each other. Like, you have to trust each other that, okay, I know you're doing your job, I'm doing my job, let's just keep holding our end. At some point it's going to turn, and then you need a leader. And I think their manager he's authentic, he does an amazing job. And I say that because most of the managers I meet and when I'm traveling around baseball, when something like this happens, no one's fault. You know, this happens, you know, it's no big deal, we're going to get... You know, he calls it out. He says, like, we're terrible. You know, our bottom of the order is bad, or our bullpen is not getting any outs. Or, like, he ends up calling everybody out so no one's singled out.
Right. I'll ask you to single it out because we're analyzing here.
All right, okay.
Bottom of the order, bullpen, starters not going deep enough. That's all been kind of a problem during this streak. Which concerns you the most?
Boy, that's a good question. I'm not worried about the lineup. Because when everyone's in there, Vientos starting tomorrow night, depth of lineup is good. Bullpens always worry me because there's...
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
A real fungibility to bullpens. You know, guys can have a month that they're the greatest reliever you've ever seen, and then they have a hard time getting out. So I think you always need a lot of depth in the bullpen. But for me, and Philadelphia has the advantage in this way, every night they throw a guy out, even though they've lost a lot of games they haven't scored.
Right.
Every night they throw a guy out and go 7 scoreless. That, to me, is always the strength of the game.
Right.
It limits the streaks you're talking about, Tiki, and puts you in a place each and every night. The Mets do that if Manaea and Senga are in there.
Right.
They'll have a harder time doing it if they're not.
Yeah, so, I mean, you bring up the starting rotations. The issue right now is that they're not getting deep, and so it's putting too much tax on the bullpen. Sean Manaea, we saw throwing a little bit out here. We don't know what the full status is, and when we heard Mindy, and I guess David Stearns also talking about this a couple of days ago, I'm a little bit confused because I know what loose bodies are. I used to have them in my knees from all the bone spurs and stuff like that, and it's fine, but it hurts. But I'm a football player.
Yeah,
like, I'm not a pitcher who's very, you know, sensitive right elbow or left elbow could really derail your season. What does that? What does it mean for Sean Manaea right now? Cortisone shot, obviously pain, inflammation, etc. What is it? When can we expect him to be right again?
Yeah, I had loose bodies, elbow issues from 87 on the rest of my career, and I had three different surgeries for it. Never missed any time, never went on the injured list, so I was very lucky. But it really comes to a point. There's a lot of issues, okay? If you're really young in your career, you might get the surgery and try to get it 100% and come back and then take your mark.
Right.
He's just signed a long-term contract. So I think it's incumbent on him, if he can go, he's going to have to suck it up with the pain and just go out there and pitch. Now, as far as you asking about the loose bodies, and some days you'll wake up and they're in the right position,
right,
and you feel great, and you can throw as hard as you've ever thrown. And then some days you get up and you can't, like, towel your head off. Mm. It's a very strange kind of injury that comes and goes, but usually with the right medication, anti-inflammatories, things like that, it can get you through a season, certainly.
Yeah. We're talking to Ron Darling. We're live from the Cadillac Club. Mets are playing the Braves tonight. David Peterson, up until his last start, was starting to feel like, wow, he could be the ace of this team. What has changed watching David Peterson early in his career to what he has become now?
Well, he's healthy. He's fully evolved as a pitcher. He always had a great competitive side. I always loved that about him. He always had enough stuff to be a big star in this league. I think his control is much better now than it ever was before, probably because of the health. And I just think he wants to be good. You know, half the battle of trying to be a really successful professional athlete, you got to want it, and you got to believe it. You got to believe, like, I'm good. And I think he's at that point right now. Now, he's had a couple of hiccups, but I'm a big believer in today's game. We love it occasionally when the guy goes for the complete game and we're just going nuts. It's so nice. But watch their starts after a complete game. They're always like a little iffy for the first couple of starts. So I'm sure he's ready for Pittsburgh tomorrow. He'll probably throw a jam tomorrow.
Doesn't that drive you crazy? In your day, it was like, pitch a complete game. Oh, great. Do it again. Now it's like, all right, just go get us five innings.
You know, it's all good. You know, every generation gets to play the game the way they want to play. You know, the other night, Acuna, you know, did his thing with his home run trot around the bases. Now, listen. If I were still playing, it would bother me. I'm not, so it doesn't bother me at all. You can play the game, you know, let the kids play. You can do whatever you want to do. I think as far as the complete game and all that stuff, you make an interesting and great point. If we ever want pitchers to get back or innings, you're going to have to incentivize it.
Yeah, we were just talking about
If you let the pitchers know that you are not going to get paid for a five-inning start, you're not going to get paid for 20 starts in a 110-inning year. You're going to get paid because you make your 30 starts. You're going to get paid because you make 180 innings. You will see a shift so quickly like you've never seen before, because the bottom line is, for all professional athletes, you're maxing out your earning time. Yeah. That's all it is.
Right. Now, when you say a shift – and I'm assuming approach is a big part of that.
Yeah.
So we had CC Sabathia on at Fanatics Fest.
Is he awesome or what?
Oh, he's fantastic. Awesome. He's one of our good friends. And when I was talking about the end of his career, when he lost some velocity, he had to learn how to pitch. Do you think that happens? I mean, the pitch clock has sped things up, so you're not seeing guys rear back and try to hit 97 every pitch. But now you got to learn how to pitch differently if what you're saying is going to happen, being incentivized to go deep into games.
Well, one, you're going to have to get rid of the arbitrary 100 pitch limit. You're going to have to go where a Paul Skenes should be 130 pitches, and some other people maybe are closer to 100.
That's Sean's argument, by the way.
Well, he said it about Clark Schmidt.
I'm just saying that's Sean's argument.
I think the hardest thing for like a guy like CeCe is that he was so great and such a macho pitcher that went right after guys, is that when you lose a little, you got to lose the macho. And that's hard to lose, man, because that's part of your whole strut.
Well, you know what he would do? He'd just hit you.
Yeah, exactly. He'd do whatever he wanted to
do. That's how he stayed macho.
What are you going to do? He's 6'8". I'm not going after him. But you have to lose that macho, and every time that you, in the past, would add, you have to subtract. Mm. And when that happens for the first time, you kind of feel bad. Right. You know, it doesn't make you feel good. But when it becomes successful, then you're like, oh, wait a minute. This is what it's all about anyway. It's just supposed to be good.
I want to go back to Acuna because he ticked off a lot of Met fans as well.
He's
doing the Euro step. He's dancing. And we took calls throughout the day. The Mets should drill him. The Mets should really drill him.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, I don't think they're going to drill him because most Met players are going to celebrate, too, if they hit a home run.
Yeah. Right.
Clay Holmes came up and in often and early. I didn't get the sense it was related, though. I got the sense it was he's a tough hitter, and this is how you have to face him.
Right.
What was your sense on the up and into Acuna?
Yeah, you don't. You don't have to hit a hitter to give a message, and I think Clay Holmes delivered that message. And the message was this: it's I understand your talent, I know how great you are, but don't get comfortable on my watch. I'm pitching tonight. Don't get comfortable. That's all I'm telling you.
Right.
And I think that's only the only message you should send. I think it's really horse, you know what. If a guy's great and he's hitting you and you hit him, why would you hit? I mean,
right.
I mean that's on you.
Right.
That's not on him.
You threw the pitch.
Yeah, get better. You know what I mean? So I always think it's bad to hit a guy because he's great. Now, pitching inside, you see the Dodgers have to do that to Tatis Jr. That's how you have to pitch Acuna.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to get him out, you've got to make sure he doesn't get extended. And pitching inside is an art. And not everyone can do it.
Right. Now, you mentioned something earlier about Mark Vientos and coming, likely being activated tomorrow. If, I don't know. You said he's going to be in a starting lineup. We don't know if he's going to be in the starting lineup.
No, but, so presumptuous.
Right. Yeah. But there's a corresponding move that has to happen here. Ronnie Mauricio is a guy who is, I don't say he's struggling to keep his spot here, but it feels like he's struggling to keep his spot here. You talk about turning on inside pitch. You saw that last night.
Yeah.
Young kid comes inside. He turns on it, barrels it, and throws it way in the back of the stadium. But what's going to happen if Mark Vientos comes back? Because there's some guys that need to play. And I think there's going to be some odd men out.
Yeah, I think the Mets are have really turned the corner on this. I think they make decisions based on how do we get the player ready and better for our stretch run. And if Mauricio goes down, it is not a slight. It's only because they need him. Mm-hmm. He has a chance of all their young players, and I know – you know, one of the things about organizations is they love to sell their young players.
Of course.
Mauricio is legit. You know, he hasn't played for a couple of years, but he is legit. He's got some skills that the other guys don't have. And if they're going to make a run, he's going to be a big part of it in August and September. So maybe in the short run, it's going to hurt his feelings. But in the long run, it'll help him and it'll help the organization.
Indeed. Ron, we appreciate you coming on, man.
Oh,
thank
guys,
you very much.
Thank you very
thank
much.
You, Ron.
I appreciate it. Your show's great.
Way thank you, man.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.